thanks, guys, for coming on and talking. Yeah, well, when y'all sent me the latest cut that y'all have, the single, I was listening to it and I was just like, good Lord, like this is like right on that edge of like the guitar tone and bass, like really intermingling and like just pushing that edge of like oh, it's almost floppy, but it's not, like it's still like holding it, yeah. You know, it's yeah. it was very cool. I was just like, oh man, and then having the vocals come in and like it was not what I was expecting, and it was a nice it was like a really nice change of pace.
Cool. Thanks. Yeah, I mean that's like our goal with the tone, the guitar and the bass tone is to like complement each other to where we're not fighting the same frequency spectrum so that it just sounds like a giant wall.
Yeah.
To where like, you know, you can feel it as well as just like hear like how much high end and mid and low I take up, because I'm running an ABY, like I'm running a stereo guitar rig. So I'm splitting my signal so that most of my low end is more like sub octave. And he takes up like the more audible low end and mid. It almost is like, because he's playing a 4-string bass, I'm playing an 8-string guitar. So he's almost acting as an 8-string guitar half the time as well when I'm doing higher shit. So it's like, kind of acts as like one just giant instrument, even though two of us are playing two different things or three different signals.
Yeah, that's cool. One, y'all have I hate to categorize, but just trying to explain it. It's like y'all have a particular groove too, like when you play. That is one of the, it's like, the closest I can kind of compare it to, not in sound, but kind of like how you feel when you're listening to music, is like Eagles of Death Metal.
Like
it's just like, you want to get up and like wiggle and dance and, you know, like, yeah. And it's, I like that. That's really cool. And then just the fuzz being just like blasting you. And then it's like, yeah, it's like the drums just make it to where it's just like you want a boogie with it, you know?
Yeah, it's exactly like it's just that fun, like it's aggressive but in a fun way, not in like an angry or like yelling in your face kind of way. It's like, you know, let's have a couple beers and like we're singing about, you know, real shit or whatever. It's not like you know, it's like a camaraderie sort of thing, I guess. And the groove aspect comes from, you know, like, I mean, I'm not too knowledgeable on Heels of Death Metal, but like when I first started off writing stuff like Queens of the Stone Age, Fu Manchu, Pantera, and I mean, Meshuggah is a huge influence of mine as well. So kind of all taking all those pieces and making it like a more palatable product that like can span over all different genres of metal that everyone can appreciate, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you caught my ear, and I was honestly, I feel the same way how you're explaining it, you know, to where it's just like, yeah, it's just something that's, it's like, I've been commuting back and forth, from, where I'm living into downtown Houston, and I've been jamming y'all, and it's like, it's great to listen to on the road.
Yeah.
So
good drive music.
Yeah.
We're just trying to make good heavy rock and roll. And, like, you know, there's a bit of a, I don't know, I think there's a little bit of a thing where, like, heavy music can't be fun, but it can be fun. And, you know, and we're just trying to have fun with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, like, macho mindset. It's like we're just being goofy on stage and having fun and running around and, like, I don't know, just, like, having some humor about it in the same way that, I don't know, bands, like, think about like Primus and how they perform, or like Ween, like shit like that. Like, so they're, you know, aspects of performance that I take, or like Frank Zappa too, and that kind of shit. Like, I don't know what you guys think about, like, as far as that whole thing goes, but
yeah, you just don't have to have like some kind of ridiculous, I don't know, like hairy hard ass all the time. It can be like groovy and fun, and yeah. For that sake. You know, stop being so uptight about it.
Yeah,
you know?
It's designed to just loosen everybody up and have fun.
Yeah.
And let out any aggression you do have, like get to the front of the stage and shout some lyrics and shove some people and, you know, have a little friendly mosh pit going. involved, and so it's just like a community thing as well.
Yeah, just, it's like
take we're playing shows. It's like, what the fuck are we doing right now?
Yeah, well, it seems it comes off as like taking the music seriously, but not taking yourselves seriously.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like Red Fang's music videos.
Yeah.
And totally. Stuff, you know, it's like those are just hilarious and great. Like I was looking on y'all's y'all's Facebook, and I love the photo of the three of y'all on that star spangled carpet.
Yeah, that was from our last tour in Tallahassee. We played in this like old, so it was a tattoo shop, and then next to the tattoo shop, they owned that part of the building as well, and it was an old like head shop, right?
And
it went out of business, but they had that goofy ass like old
bowling alley
or like, you know, or skate video arcade.
Yes,
that's so we were just like. It was all. It was completely empty in there, and like it was like a Tuesday. What was it, Monday? It was like
Tuesday,
and then everybody came out and packed the place. And I don't know. I just thought that rug was like let's like lay on the floor and take a photo with this goofy ass rug.
Yeah, Burt Reynolds it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that carpet, and I was like, I don't know where they are, but I've seen that carpet somewhere. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's rain.
It's everybody's childhood.
Yeah,
yeah. Every video arcade you ever played.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Right when you said like bowling alley, I was like, oh, it's probably bowling alley or some like cheap casino, you know, or something like that. Well, so how did you guys get started as a group?
It started. So I started writing stuff on my own. Sean and I had played in projects before, so when I started writing, my background is in like audio engineering and stuff. So I've been doing, you know, different projects for the last 10 or 15 years. And I always would just like program drums and do everything myself. And so I started piecing together the songs by myself, and then quickly was like, Sean, you're the drummer on this. And it's like, let's fucking do it. Yeah. We started off as a four piece. So I kind of like the first EP, Burger Time Classics, was all, like, I wanted to present the product, like, as if it had existed, from the day one of our launch. Like, the EP's out, there's photos, like, it's, like, already a thing. It wasn't like it was building up gradually. So we launched it during South By, what was that, 2017? We were a four-piece. One of my buddies was the bass player for that very first show, and that was it. And then we had a different bass player for a while, and now are on with Aaron. It started with Sean and I. We had another guitar player that was in the band for maybe a year or so. And so it's been a thing to where I kind of like will piece together the songs and send them back and forth to these guys and, you know, see what they think, drum ideas to Sean, and you know, everyone's open to the interpretation. For Aaron, I'm just like, do what you do. Like, there's no, you know, he's before he was in the band, he was a huge fan of ours anyway, so he already knew all the shit, so he has a really good idea of, you know, what we're going for. But yeah, we just like started to South By 2017 and have just been trying to play as much as possible and since then, and this whole thing with the virus,
fuck that up.
It's the first time that we stopped playing. Yeah. Like, I mean, we would at least play a show like every couple weeks.
Yep.
We had tours lined up.
Yeah. We'd be in Philly today.
Yeah, we're,
yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, it's been catastrophic for music. So, and it sucks. So I'm hoping that things get back to normal as soon as possible.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems in Austin. I don't know. Where are you in? Are you New Orleans?
So we started in New Orleans and we're still based there. I'm in Houston right now.
Oh, okay.
So just a little south of y'all.
Yeah. I mean, Austin is sort of starting to come back.
Yeah.
Like there's some places like
outdoor spots are starting to do some shows. Like, it's kind of slowly, like, people are kind of, like, dipping their foot in the water, like, seeing what it's going to look like kind of thing. So,
yeah.
Hopefully sooner than later.
Yeah, they're doing
it. On the spectrum, there are venues that are closing permanently as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're experiencing the same thing down here. People are kind of dipping their toe also into kind of trying to figure out the concerts and stuff. And it's really polar right now in kind of the comments that I've been reading. You know, some people are like, are you kidding me? Like, you know, like, you're doing this now? And it's like, well, when, I don't know, it gets to a weird spot. It's like, well, when are you going to do it? You know, if you're outside and stuff and, you know,
it's, I mean, like, whose supreme authority are you waiting for to tell you it's okay?
When in reality, it's like, if you go to a metal show, it's never really particularly safe. You know, it's like, even if you're not in the pit, you can always wind up with an elbow to the face or something, you know? I mean, it's like, it's just a part of the experience. And so, and I'm not blowing off the severity and importance of staying safe during the pandemic. It's just after a while, it's just kind of like, what do you do, you know?
Yeah.
You got to keep moving forward at some point.
I think it's just up to your, you know, your own discretion at this point, because I don't think the governor has any intention of closing the state down again, no matter how bad it gets. It's a complete fuck it mode. So at this point, it's like, sure, like we already are starting to book shows for July and August, assuming that they're going to happen. I mean, I hope they do. But yeah, it's like, there's really no answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, you just kind of got to, like you were saying, like, you just got to take care of yourself. Like, if you go out and you want to be wearing a mask, wear the mask. Like, and if someone gives you a dirty look, fuck them. Like, it's...
Yeah. No, I agree. Well, so, getting back to y'all's music, so when's the single dropping? There was some talk that it hasn't technically dropped yet.
We were supposed to have dropped it immediately. So we submitted it to Spotify or CD Baby so that all the digital distribution should have happened within a week, usually 7 to 10 days. But because they're getting such a huge influx of other, they're overloaded right now with people trying to upload shit, apparently.
Oh, wow.
So I submitted it on May 22nd, and now it's June 10th. And I go on CD Baby every day to check to see, and it just keeps saying, you know, in for review. So I'm getting frustrated to the point where we might just, you know, maybe release on SoundCloud or Bandcamp, like, you know, now. And then when it's out on Spotify and iTunes and all that other shit, like, I'll just let everybody know. But it sucks because, you know, I said it'll be out this day, and now Spotify's just holding the whole, or not Spotify, CD Baby's holding up the whole process. So as soon as I see that it's been, like, authorized or whatever, like, it's up, and, you know, everybody will know. But they're just dragging their asses for whatever reason.
Well, so are y'all looking to release another EP pretty soon, or what are the plans?
We're going to be doing a full length.
Yeah.
Which will be our first full length we've ever done. And realistically, end of July, early August will be when it comes out. We'll have a second single that comes out after this first one. And then, you know, start talking, like, we're going to do vinyl on this one for the first time. You know, we'll have CDs and, you know, getting all the merchandise organized for that, pre-sale campaigns, all that shit. Like, it's organizing all the back-end stuff and not trying to rush it for no reason. And, you know, I want to get it out, the music out there as soon as possible, but there's a lot of back end shit that, like, we personally have to do. Like, we, you know, we have a manager, like, promote, like, I don't even know what you would, like, call Billy. Manager.
It's our PR.
PR, like,
yeah. Yeah.
So we have another, like, one other hand that helps, but otherwise, like, we're all completely DIY, so, and we like it that way, but it obviously takes a lot longer to get some things done.
Well, we're looking forward to it on this end.
Yeah. So, like, you know, album art and all that stuff is pretty much done. We got, like, maybe, like, two more songs to write. And then after that, it's just, you know, the grind to get it all released, but I want it done, you know, late July or early August, for sure.
Very cool. Well, let's talk about the vocals a little bit, because y'all have a different sound than a lot of other bands, and it's cool. I really dig it. Like how'd you kind of come across your sound?
The vocal was kind of a mix of, so Sean and I were in a punk band, kind of like a goofy punk band called Chuck Bucket before the Burger Patrol existed. And that's kind of what the Burger Patrol grew out of, because that was like we had nine members in that band. And it was just like unreasonable to like keep it going. And it was like just really out there. But the way I sang in that was just that really nasally, kind of just over the top, goofy kind of shit. So I think because I was doing that, and I also did like a lot of like electronic, like funk indie stuff where I sang in a falsetto all the time. So it just, that high nasally thing kind of fit vocal range. It was more like, I was thinking about, you know, like Zach De La Rocca or like Ad Rock from Beach Boys, shit like that. Like, it's just like I'm singing with my nose and not really like with my diaphragm. I think it worked because of how low the guitar was. To have the vocal be higher and like soaring over everything else, mm-hmm. just made more sense sonically. But yeah, I mean, when I wrote the first like song or two, like I was doing a different project and I had really no intention of what, I mean, like I didn't know what this was going to be like, or the name, like this is a joke, like, and then it just kind of caught on and I just kept doing it. So, it was like a subconscious, like I didn't really think about it. I just kind of did the voice that way. I don't know.
Well, it's cool how it's also layered in with the, with like the guttural growls too.
Yeah, and I'm gonna be doing more growl shit and scream shit on this album too. So that's where I think like Pantera influence comes in for me, is like the actual singing, and then like, you know, when Phil would scream, like his scream, or do the low growls like on like later Pantera shit, or even like I think about like Kirk Weinstein from Crowbar and how he sings. Mm-hmm. I've always really liked that. Or even like this, like Coalesce. I don't know if you know them. They're like a post-hardcore band from like the early 90s or like mid-90s, early 2000s. How he sings, like this, that's kind of where like the screaming comes in. And I guess I started doing it more live and saw that people liked it a lot. So I think I'm doing a little bit more of that now because I got a positive reaction from it. Seeing how I want to scream as long as possible. Like I like on Grease Beast was like a 22 second long scream. There was a song on this record that I tried to do like a 30 second long scream. So I don't know. I think it's fun and like kind of goofy, but like, when you hear something like that, it's like, what the fuck was that? You know, like I want people to be like, what the fuck was that about? So
yeah, well, you can definitely
having the ability to do the like the screaming and then like actually sing, like I don't think a lot of people do that or do it well or effectively. So I want to be able to have like that just completely ridiculous range. I want people to be like how can you do all that? I guess.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. Yeah, and well, and you can definitely hear a lot of different influences and stuff. And yeah, and I've been trying to think of like, I'm like, man, who does he sound like? And it's a culmination of stuff. Like you definitely hear like the Pantera stuff, and then like talking about the Beastie Boys, I was like, oh yeah, like if the Beastie Boys created like a stoner doom party band, it would kind of sound like y'all.
Yeah, I get that. I get like Ozzy sometimes.
Yeah.
I get like Jack White sometimes. I've gotten Ween before. Gotten Les Claypool before. It's like a mix of all those guys.
I guess. There's this kind of like surf punk band too called the Hexers.
Okay.
That y'all reminded me of a little bit, and like a little bit of the Hives too.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sure.
So no, it's very cool. Yeah. Well, so how'd you get started playing music and getting into music? Like what was there like a switch flip for you? You know, like, I mean, I grew up listening to, you know, hardcore and thrash and all this stuff, actually from my older cousin, who's like 8 years older than me, you know, and when I was a kid, what was really big was Nirvana. Like that's kind of was the gateway for me to, and then Soundgarden, I really latched on to sonically just because I was like, man, they're really different. They're super heavy and stuff. And like, you know, but what was it that got y'all excited individually?
I mean, I started playing in middle school, and the reason I started playing is where I went to school, you had to do either band or chorus as a thing, and I didn't want to sing, and I didn't want to put effort into an instrument, so I started playing drums. And
so you chose the instrument that takes the most effort?
Concert bass drum is different.
And then I
started taking lessons, and my teacher got me into, I mean, rock and roll, like, you know, AC/DC records and Zeppelin records and all that. And then, you know, my friends started forming bands, and so I played in 8 or 10 bands during high school. Kind of like, this is what I'm doing. Like, I went to school, kept playing, moved out here to play, still playing. I haven't stopped playing. Didn't work so well. Still playing.
I guess same thing. Just really early on, mostly vocal music for me. They're like church and school choirs and shop quartets. My dad had an extensive CD library growing up. In middle school, my room got moved into what was like the room that had the television and all the CDs in it. So I started going through all the CDs and, you know, he played stuff for us growing up, you know, on a Saturday morning, Triumph and Slayer and Dean Martin and the Beastie Boys in the same Saturday morning. So that had a lot to do for me. But I guess with the guitar specifically, I found a copy of a Black album. And I, looking through the liner notes, I wanted to be James Hetfield. I just thought I'd not heard anything like that, I guess, at the time I discovered it. So that was a big deal. But I didn't have an electric guitar at that point, which I guess is my primary instrument. That Under Great White Northern Lights or Blackpool Lights documentary or concert footage of the White Stripes. Jack plays that Sunhouse tune, Death Letter Blues. And I watched that on repeat just over. And that's when I became, I guess, obsessed with the noise, just like making sound, and kind of took off from there. Tracking stuff for myself, like songs I was writing. And when I moved out here, I had a bass and, you know, kind of became quick friends. I had one sitting around when a new bass player was needed. So, you know, I learned all the material, and now I'm a bass player.
It was our, on our tour in, was it the September one?
Yes.
He was our like roadie merch guy, and then kind of proved himself to be much more of an asset during that whole time. I think that's when we were like, okay, like we need to make some decisions on what to do moving forward, and that's where I
very cool.
As far as my background on music stuff, as far as like listening to stuff, like I was maybe 7 or 8 years old, and I went to a music shop with my mom and was like he wants to listen to music, but he doesn't know what he wants to listen to. And the guy at the shop gave me Rage Against Machines, Evil Empire, Siamese Dream on cassette. And that was like the first like thing I still have them too. Like that kind of shaped my like love for like rock music and stuff, like at a very young age. As far as playing goes, I used to like, when I was in like elementary school, me and my buddies would like set up like pillows, like as drums and like broom as a guitar, and like turn on music and just pretend like in his living room and just pretend we were like rocking out or whatever. And I remember he had older brothers that were in high school. So we were like maybe 10 or 11 at the time. The older brothers were in high school, and they'd be upstairs like smoking pot and listening to like heavy metal and shit. I remember hearing Pantera at the time, and we snuck up there so I could ask him what it was. And his buddy was up there with the guitar and was playing, and he was like shredding on guitar. And that was the first time I've ever seen anybody do that. And that was the moment I knew that I needed to play guitar, was seeing that dude, Martino. I don't even know anything about him other than that. I guess, dude, like I saw him play guitar and I was like, holy shit. Like, and asked for a guitar for my birthday, like soon after that.
Very cool. Yeah, it's funny how almost like random instances and just knee-jerk decisions and stuff all of a sudden make it to where then it's like, oh, music is my life, you know? And
it
just becomes all-encompassing for a lot of us, which is really cool.
Totally.
Yeah, it definitely gets obsessive quick.
Yeah. I think that's part of having a hard time of not being able to play shows or go out to shows. It's like half of my identity is gone. I can be in here and write music and record and listen to records and stuff, but like as far as like being a part of the community aspect of it is like, I just like can't wait till it all, you know.
Yeah.
Help out.
Yeah. Well, there's an exchange, you know. It's like y'all are sharing, you know, a lot of work that's gone into your performances. You know, and you can hear that. You can hear that too in your recordings. You can hear that y'all are a touring band, because there's like a, I don't know, there's a certain energy I feel like when I'm listening to a band that's not only into it, but just I don't know. There's a big difference when everything sounds perfect, and you know all the tracks are just synced up perfectly and stuff. Actually, did y'all record live in a group setting, or did you track individually?
It's all tracked individually. I'll make a scratch track for Sean, and I mean, I can move this for a second, but like this is where we record in the house I live in. So like my rig's behind Aaron there, and then if I move this over slightly, you can see like. This is where the drums are set up. This is where we track the drums for Grace Beast and for the new album, Bird Bates from Outer Space.
Very cool.
So it's all like, it's very DIY, but it's like, you know, trying to make it sound the best we can with the tools that we have.
Yeah.
We're not going to spend thousands of dollars going to a studio. You know, like, I want to have control out of all of it. Being able to manipulate stuff and experiment with shit, and I have to be in a studio where somebody else is controlling it or producing it. Like, we have like endless amounts of time to, you know, the sounds and the tones and get exactly what we want. So, yeah, I mean, it's something that I wouldn't want. I'd have a very hard time giving it up and having somebody else do it. And for instance, like, so our second single that's going to be released is, Jeff Henson, the guitarist from Duel, mixed it. So I guess recorded all the tracks and sent it to him and let him. So that's the first time when we've had anybody do it, and the first time we're going to have something released that's not done by me engineering and mixing and mastering it. So it's kind of interesting to kind of let it go. But it's also interesting to hear what other people's interpretation of it is too.
Yeah. Well, I've had personal experiences with both trying to, you know, have full control over it, and then also like getting it to a certain point and handing it off to people. And it definitely is it's an interesting experience, because then you have a fresh set of ears hearing it, you know. Mm-hmm. So then you know, sometimes people can really knock it out of the park for you too, and do something that you hadn't thought of, or done something just a little bit different that it's like, oh man, you know, then that kind of opens up some more creativity on your end.
For sure. Yeah, having another set of ears on it too. Like when I'm doing mixes in here, I'll always, you know, send stuff over to other people and just get an opinion on what it's like.
Yeah.
You know, other engineer friends will come in and be like, why don't you try this? Or do you try this? Like, I'm trying, as much as I'm controlling about what I'm doing and what it sounds like, I hope that I'm being open-minded about like listening to other people's opinions about it too, which is something that I was really bad at doing years ago. And I feel like I'm trying to get better at it now. Like, not just being like controlled. Like, it has to be like this. It has to be like this. It's like, because the way I'm looking at it is way different than how everybody else is looking at it or seeing it or hearing it. Like,
right.
At this point now, like with the last EP released in July, Grease Piece, like I listen to what we're recording now and I think the Grease Piece is recorded. Even though it doesn't, it's just like I'm constantly trying to improve. And I hope that when we do start releasing these tracks, people are like, holy shit, how did they bring it up another level? I always want to just keep upping the ante.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's a little bit with all of us too, when, you know, in either performing or recording or anything like that, you know, like we always want to do better than the last project we did.
Yeah.
And it becomes an interesting thing too, because it's like when, you know, like when you're working on all these projects and stuff, it's like after a while you go through this whole process of like not ever wanting to hear it again, and then sometimes falling back in love with it. But at the same time, it's like there's always something that you feel personally that you could do a little different, you know, down the road and stuff. And it's like, yeah, sometimes you just got to set it down. Just be like, this is it. This is this is going to go out into the world.
And that's the fun thing, too, where like maybe you lay the track down and it's the way it is on the album. But then you can change it live and make it better live, or like,
yeah,
you know, being open to that. Like, it shouldn't be like exactly how it is on the album when you play it live. I like having that live flavor every time. It could be different. I like the ability to do that and not just be robotic about it.
Yeah,
it's very human, you know. And when you get it on the road in front of people, and when you talk about that exchange of like energy or emotion or whatever, and it comes out different every night when you're on the road for 2 weeks in a row. Yeah. And like, you know, the song really gets proved. And then you have little things that we add, you know, breakdowns or like little lead-ins to things that people react to, and they go, "Oh shit, we got to do that again." Or
yeah,
you know, you prove the song when you have it on the road, and instead of just staying cooped up, you know, like we are now.
Yeah. No, absolutely. No, that's cool. Well, it makes a lot of sense, too.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, how does this song translate live? Like, we have no clue.
Yeah.
So it's like, that part of the creative process has like been difficult to try to overcome,
but we're really happy with it.
Yeah,
the stuff we have for the record so far, we're really happy with, and so now it's just like, that's the most important thing, you know. You got to put out stuff you're proud of.
But yeah,
we all really, really want to know what actually is. Play it live.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Well, when, like I said, from what I heard, I was impressed. It's very cool. So, well, awesome, guys. Well, thank you for chilling out and talking for a little bit about all this.
Thanks for having us, man.
So, yeah, absolutely.